I tell you what, let's just start the show, and I'll just go along with it. You just tell me what we're talking about, and I'll speak it.
All right, that sounds good. Here we go.
Because going to Google Drive is actually being useless at this point, and so is Gmail. Google is just blowing me off, let me tell you. But at least it's not dropping me. That's a that's progress. See? It's a good thing I bought the Nexus 7. I get a little bit of Google love.
Google love?
All right, shall we start?
Googling Google love.
Okay, shut up so I can start the show. Guys are talking too much. I can't get the beginning in. And Joel, are you done with your sound effects?
I'm all finished for now, but I'll surprise you later.
Yeah, good, good. I like the sound effects, Joel. Keep them up.
All right, here we go. Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM. What the hell was that?
That was a sound effect.
All right, I'm going to try this again.
No, that was good. You got to keep it. Do it again, Joel.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello, Barry. Get serious.
Welcome.
Don't talk over him.
Michael, get back and what? You haven't started the show yet?
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Happy New Year! We see what Santa brought, and the Virtual Youper is stuck in a digital desert. Say that five times real fast. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the Plush QRM Studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
Embryo die!
Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM Show number 123.
They were hurry tonight!
From the southwest corner of a very chilly New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where it is equally damn cold, this is Joel.
And from the too-deep and crazy snow Tug Hill Plateau of central New York, this is Barty.
And Michael will be... I was waiting for Michael. Michael will be with us shortly. He's in the...
He'll be waiting a while.
He's in the nether regions of the Youperville.
And but he called it the digital desert.
Digital desert, yes.
He's in a digital wasteland.
Commuting through the digital desert back home, and he will join us later. And so we missed last week, although Barty and Joel did try, and they tried to do something none of us have ever done before, record both sides of a hangout on one machine. I actually use, I've got three computers set up here and a mixer board. And that's how I pretty much record it. But nobody has ever really tried to figure out exactly how to do it on one machine. And so we're going to experiment sometime because I did do some research this week and I think I found a solution, but we'll have to try it and see what happens. Hopefully, because that'll make us a lot more portable if we can do that, if this really works out.
There'll be a lot of benefits, definitely a lot of benefits, because when we go on late-night QRM field trips, you could pretty much record and do a show off from a laptop.
Right, and we can also have one of you guys record the show as I record the show, and that could be the backup copy each week, too, just in case.
Yes, because we don't have a backup since Michael... is in digital no man's land.
Yeah, he's the one that usually does it. Because he's got a mixer board and a couple of computers to work with, too. But
I have the same thing, but you'd never ask me to set the same thing up. But then again, I'm just kind of an occasional guest. I'm not on every week like the three of you tend to be.
Well, we try to make it every week, and we know you're a busy guy. You come when you can.
Sidelined out.
So, what's that?
He's gone. Barry, you there?
You just sidelined right out. You're like, we try to...
Oh, did I?
No. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well... It came in clear for the podcast.
You sound like a...
Ah.
Well, let's hope so.
Since I'm the one recording tonight, so... But anyway, so... Uh-oh. We just lost Barty.
No way.
That's
just unfriggin' canny.
We may be switching to Skype here if this keeps up. Of course, I don't know how Skype's going to work. We'll see.
Yeah, that tends to be a bit more of a bandwidth hog than even Google.
Yeah. So we'll see if he comes back in. Yeah, it's been freaking cold here the past couple of days. And,
heck yeah.
And, of course, if you listened to the news on Thursday night, you would have sworn, with all the emergency state of emergencies and everything being called, that...
Mm-hmm.
We were going to be in for the... There's Barty.
Hello.
He's back.
Hello.
Okay. My
phone crashed.
Yeah. Bummer. But we were just talking about...
My phone was not very shiny, let me tell you.
Yeah, we were just talking about Thursday night around here in the Boston area. If you watch the news and all the governors calling state of emergencies, you would have thought we were in for the blizzard of the century. And that's what everybody was doing. They were running out on Thursday night looking for bread, milk, and toilet paper. And
one
I don't
other
know,
thing I got to add. Yeah. I've got to add one other thing because I was one of those people that was out there, but it wasn't to panic. But it was because I needed BLTs. And everybody bought every strip of friggin' bacon in the better part of southern New Hampshire. I couldn't find any. I did find some. I had to beat up an old 97-year-old lady for it, but I got some friggin'... Some deli cut bacon.
And he ran before her husband could catch him.
Well, she's 97. He was a spry 86. I could beat him.
Just barely.
Shut up.
I tell you, I have to have pride in central New York. I'm not from here. I'm a New Hampshire native. But I tell you what, when an impending storm shows up, do not show up to a liquor store. Because you can buy toilet paper all you want in any grocery store, but if you want to buy some wine or some booze and you go to a liquor store, because you can't buy wine in a grocery store, that fucking sucks. But anyway, here in New York, you have to go to a liquor store to buy wine. Everybody shows up at the liquor store before an impending storm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, get out of here. It took me like almost an hour to get out of a friggin' just to buy a couple of bottles of wine. You know? It's like, jeez. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll swap you a couple of some toilet paper for this, and yeah, that won't work.
Thanks, buddy. No go. I can always use leaves.
Well, you can't find leaves this time of year, trust me, especially not where I live.
Well, Thursday night storm into Friday, I got a grand total of about 6 inches of snow here.
Really?
Yeah. That's,
we had
that's
22.
6 inches? You had laugh at it and just go on your way. Oh, that's right. You have a Prius. You can't do that.
Oh, I got a funny Prius driver.
It's got like, what, 4 inches of ground clearance? So you're stuck.
Exactly. You drive over a sheet of notebook paper. It can't make it over.
Yeah, 6 inches. I mean, you know, I wake up in the morning, you see 6 inches, and I go, oh, this is a good day.
Well, yeah, but you're up in the snow belt there. The lake effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this year is... I really wish Michael was around because we kind of have similar weather. Let's hold off on weather talk until Michael shows up.
Okay.
Yeah. He can really talk some good weather because he is in a real weather place.
Trump us all.
Yeah.
Yes. So we really shouldn't talk weather until Michael is around.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for Michael for the rest of the weather report here because it has been.
Yeah, especially since, you know, he talks about like hanging around on top of mountains, trying to fix things on towers and things like that. Yeah. You know, we need Michael when we talk about weather. Yeah. So let's move on, skip weather.
And if you wonder why we talk about, if you wonder why we talk about weather all the time here, is because it is a major part of our life in the regions that we live in because yeah, it does affect your everyday life here. With the amount of snow and the cold and everything that we get. So anyway, okay, so yeah. It's been
Google or Bing Tug Hill Plateau sometime.
Yeah, I know. The lake effects.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, Barry.
No, that's right. The lake effects, well, you know, you get the lake effects and geez, Michael's in the middle of the damn lake, so.
Yeah, he's got the tip of a penis in the middle of a lake, you know?
I think he refers to it as a finger, but.
Well, okay, well, it's kind of a deformed finger, but, you know. Never mind.
Okay.
We'll wait for Michael.
So the last time we had a show, it was before Christmas, and, So I have to say, and Barty's been talking about it in the pre-show, about his Nexus 7, and what I had turned my video back on to show you guys is Santa Anne Marie brought me a brand new Nexus 7 tablet for Christmas.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and I will tell you that so far I am enjoying it. I do have some pluses and minuses on it, but the overall how I would describe it is it's like using Linux on a nice machine.
Really?
And I will say that that's my comparison. Now, if you compare OS X and Linux, I like both of them, but I would prefer OS X over Linux. Now
well,
with
I have
iOS,
to say that I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I do think that you really did kind of hit it right on the head. That is a perfect comparison in both cases. And I really do think that the Nexus 7 is a tablet that can totally stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But on day-to-day use, comparing it to like an iPad,
right.
The only thing that the biggest difference is that the iPad is like simpler and easier to use, and there are like a ton more apps available for the iPad. But the Google interface, I would suggest that anybody that wants to look at an Android device, look at any kind of a Google device first before you look at anything from Samsung or any other
Android company. Yeah, company.
Yeah,
well,
I was trying
Android.
Not to say Far East because I didn't want to disparage an entire region of the planet.
Right.
But, because they always throw a lot of extra crap in it, where Google is a pure Android experience. It's nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of extra crap in it. And if you want extra junk in it, you got to go pollute it yourself, which is a perfect way to approach it.
Right.
You know, which is the same way Apple does things. You know, and it's the same thing with the desktop that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you buy OS X, you get a new iMac with OS X, and it only comes with just these things, and that's good. You know, unlike a PC where you got like tons of crap you have to figure out a way to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of these things, a lot of this extra crapware doesn't have an uninstall utility to it.
Right.
You know, and I think that. It's the same kind of comparison. You know, and with Linux is nice and clean. When you get a Linux install put onto something, it's the same kind of interface. It's nice and clean and safe, but you don't really have all the applications that you want to use that you would have like in Mac OS X or in Microsoft.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
I think that was a really good comparison. That you hit it right on the nail,
well,
Barry.
Well, I gotta say, I really enjoy this 7-inch size. I think it's a very good size for me anyway. If I gotta look something up quick, I'm finding myself grabbing the Nexus 7, because it's easier on the eyes, and yet it's not as big as the 10-inch tablet, that takes some use, because I can hold this in one hand. And do things with it. I do have some negatives about it, though. Negatives are where they place the buttons on the side, the power button and the volume button. Great if you're right-handed, because you can easily control things with that. If you're left-handed, a little awkward. I like the way Apple puts the power button on the top where you can reach it from either hand. And the other thing is on the Nexus 7 is it's got a rounded beveled edge, and the buttons are kind of on the bottom side of it, which kind of is awkward to get to them sometimes.
Well, I don't know.
It could be I just need to get used to it.
I've got an iPad Air, mm-hmm. and that thing is so thin that the buttons for the volume are still on the right hand side, and the power button, like you said, is up on the top, and you know the clear screen thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really find it really. Of course, then again, I'm right-handed, so I don't really have a really hard time with it. My wife is left-handed, and she hasn't really complained too much about that. She has, like I said, I've got the Air, and she's got the third generation that I upgraded from to my current Air. And she does say that there are days that, you know, she does a lot of reading, intensive reading, and she says that there are times that holding that thing does tend to get heavy. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about maybe getting her an iPad Mini to use. Mm-hmm. We do have one of the original Kindle Fires, and she says, yeah, the smaller size is nice because it fits in her hands, but it's still kind of hefty, a little heavy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has fibromyalgia and lupus, so there are times when holding on to something for an extended period of time starts to hurt. Mm-hmm. And she has that with, like, you know, hardcover books and things.
Right.
Which was one of the reasons why I was able to get her moved on to
electronic
device. Because she was, she was like one of the first like anti-geek kind of people around. Yeah. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, deep into computers and video games and all kinds of things, and she was like, I don't know why you waste all your time with this crap, you know. But she was an avid reader, and we went on trips, and she would like pile up piles of books to read when we were gone for like 2 or 3 weeks to some place. And you know, the first time I bought her one of the original Kindles, mm-hmm. and says, well, you know, you don't have to bring all those books with you. He goes, why? Well, we can put them all in this Kindle. And she goes, he looked at me kind of suspiciously, and, you know, like, what was I up to?
Yeah.
You know? And I says, okay, fine. Well, you know, so we got the books, we put them all in the Kindle, and she just simply carried that Kindle. And the black and white screen was easier to read and stuff, and she says, hey, okay, this is kind of nice. Huh? You know? When I first talked, when the iPad came out and I first talked to her about, you know, maybe we ought to buy one of these, she goes, what do you want one of those for? And she went and looked at them at the store the first time she picked one up and just felt it and flipped through the screens. He goes, yeah, we need to get one of these. And so we got one. Yeah. And she says, I can read my Kindle books on this. I says, yeah, in a few minutes, let me get you the Kindle app. And she says, okay, fine. You need to get your own now. It's like, okay. And from then on, she has been descending deeper and deeper into geekdom.
Oh, it's fun.
And like, she's like totally into it now. And like, you know, when I talk to her about tablets, she wants to know what does this tablet give me that one doesn't. And like, we're talking about getting a smaller tablet because there are some days that the heavier tablets are hard for her to hold.
Yeah.
She wants one that's lighter. She wants a nice screen. You know, of course, you know, being an Apple fanboy, I'm trying to, you know, talk her into the iPad Mini with the Retina screen.
Right.
And you know, she's like, well, I like this Google Nexus 7 you have. Can I put the can I read my books on that? I says, well, you can read your Kindle books on that. Yeah, there's a Kindle app for that. She goes, yeah, this feels kind of nice. I can use this. And I says, well, do you read any other books? And she just says, well, yeah, I've got some books from the iTunes store. I says, well, you have to have an iPad for that. And she says, she looks at me and she goes, I suppose that's the iPad Mini again. And I says, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so she's like thinking about it, you know, and the whole conversation is like really kind of funny because like in a handful of years ago, this conversation would have never happened because it would have been just give me my books and shut up about this crap. You know, and now she's assessing tablets. She's comparing the feel and the way this feels in her hands and the weight of it and things. And she says, well, we have to go to a store and check this out, you know.
Oh,
and I'm like,
cool.
Baby, I love you more and more.
Well, it's
this has been the 34 years, and this is only getting better and better.
I got to tell you that my wife is, she loves my iPad. And she uses it all the time when she's sitting on the couch and stuff, but she doesn't read books on it. Well, this Christmas, Santa brought her a Kindle, not the Paperwhite one, but the regular Kindle, because she said she never wanted one, and she would never use it. And I said, well, you know, they dropped the price on them to like $69 or something like that. It was mm-hmm. dirt cheap. And I said, ah, what the hell? If she doesn't want to use it, well, then I'll use it for tech books or whatever. And so I got her one, and, you know, the only problem was she did have one problem right away. When she went on and she was perusing through the books online mm-hmm. using it, mm-hmm. She was getting previews for the books. You can, I guess, download previews. Yep. And I don't know, I haven't figured out what she was doing, but somehow I think she was hitting the buy button, which doesn't bring up another window that prompts you to say, are you sure you want to buy this? It, you know, I was sitting there one night and I said, hey, did you buy two books? And she goes, no. And I said, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And so that kind of turned her off a little bit. I said, well, you know, here's the thing. Don't you use that to read the books. Go online. Use, you know, and go directly to Amazon and buy the books there where you have more control. Because I really think it's the buttons on the Kindle that were, you know, they're tough to hit the side buttons instead of the select button.
There are choices that you can make that show up on the screen, but they are less obvious on a Kindle than they are in the Kindle app on an iPad, uh-huh. if you believe that.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well, I think that might be some leaning from Apple.
Right.
Apple, you know, has a lot of say in what happens on iPad apps, and I think that's why, because my wife's the same way. But she will go through her iPad to buy apps and go through the Amazon store that way.
Right.
It's all keyed in. And it's the same thing with, you know, with the Kindle. Once you have your Amazon account ID and password in there, you can buy anything on Amazon instantly.
Right.
And, you know, especially if you're a Prime member, it's going to show up at your door in 2 days if it's a physical thing, and show up in your device in, like, you know, 10 minutes if you're digital.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so hopefully she'll go back and start using again to read, because it is, I mean, that one is so light and easy, you know, she can sit up in bed and sit there and read. And she liked the, even though it's the old style display, she said, no, it's very comfortable to read. So,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Well, it's kind of funny because Tony kind of likes the effect on the iPad, but I guess it depends how you adjust the brightness, because I think she has her brightness set a little higher on her iPad, so, you know, the whiteness is a little whiter.
Yeah.
And of course the text being black is just totally black.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have any problem. She prefers it over the original iPad, but she didn't really have too much problem reading it on the first iPad, yeah. The Fire.
Yeah.
So we've got a Fire kicking around here, and, you know, she'll read that and stuff, mm-hmm. but she doesn't find it any lighter than her iPad. And she's got a third gen iPad that she's mm-hmm. using, and to her, the smaller size of the Kindle Fire.
Yeah.
The Fire is the Kindle Fire is the same weight
yeah.
as her larger size iPad 3. So she's like, well, this is not really much of an advantage, you know. So she's felt my iPad Air, and she likes that, but she says, you know, a little bit smaller would be nicer. So, you know, we're looking at the Nexus 7. She's been feeling that, and I put the Kindle app on it, so she can read her books, her Kindle books on it, and, you know, we'll see how that goes, yeah. and she might decide to get one of those, or we might play around with an iPad mini with a Retina display in the store. Cause, you know, at least with the iPad, we have a lot of, you know, I mean, we're like heavy
you're into
Apple.
You're in the walled garden of Apple.
Deep into the ecosystem, so, you know, there's a lot of crap that we can throw on that thing. But, you know, we're looking at the prices and things, and we're kind of thinking, well, we you know, she already has a full-size iPad, so we don't want to put the pictures and the movies and TV shows on that because the larger screen is better for that kind of stuff.
Right.
But for the mini, she mainly wants it for, like, books and maybe a small amount of pictures.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, she always wants to show off her grandkids.
Yep.
You know,
it's,
you know,
and it's easy to carry around. But back to the Nexus.
It's in her purse, you know.
Yeah, back to the Nexus 7. The one thing I noticed is, yes, it's got a Retina-style display, as in I can't see the pixels. But I got to tell you, I like the colors and the actual look of even my iPad 2. The Retina display on my MacBook Pro and on my phone, it just seems like the colors are brighter. They're more realistic. I don't know. The Nexus 7, they're kind of dulled down a little bit. And I tried playing with the settings and stuff to see if I could bring it up. But
I guess it depends what you have for a background. Because with mine, I set it to the one that looks like a pond with, like, autumn leaves flowing across it.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about even inside an app. It's just...
Well, okay. You know, okay. Yeah. Well, inside an app, that's the app that's controlling that. So,
but they all kind of look the same.
You're not talking about a failing on the Nexus 7. You're talking about a failing of the app developer.
Well, I'm thinking the Nexus 7 somehow their display is not quite as peaked as you do find on an iOS device.
Go through the backgrounds. Find this one that has.
Oh, I have. I tried it, and I still think that, you know, everything's a little dulled down. Although, like I said, really? I cannot see a pixel on this thing. But I don't think the colors are as realistic as what you get on an iOS. It's hard to describe. It's just a little bit off. It's
awesome. I just love it when you tap it on it and you can see the little echo lines walk away from where you tapped and things, and the leaves kind of flow up and down when, you know, with the waves from your touch.
That's kind of awesome. Cool, but I think it's almost like it's got a blue haze.
The coloration of the leaves is pretty nice.
Yeah,
blue haze.
Yeah, it's almost like it's got a bluish tint to everything.
So, maybe you got a bad Nexus 7 bearing.
I don't know.
Mine does not have a blue haze on it. Trust me.
Well, it's just my opinion when I hold it up next to my iPhone 5. I distinctly like the iPhone 5 look better than the Nexus 7. And it's not by much. It's not by much. But it just seems that, Apple product has a better, it is. It's just a little brighter, a little more white.
Well, I will say that I do think that the screen of my iPad Air is sharper and clearer than the Nexus 7, but it's also newer than the Nexus 7.
Well, mine's brand new Nexus 7, though, so it's the latest one.
So you're running, what is that, KitKat?
Yeah, and I am running KitKat. It didn't come with KitKat on it because, the Nexus 7, the latest and greatest Nexus 7s came out, and KitKat came out a couple months later. But as soon as this was a cool thing, because I turned the thing on and it immediately told me, oh, there's a newer OS out there. You know, it was 4.4 something. And they said, do you want to install it? And I said, yeah, go ahead. And, so it downloaded and installed it in the background, you know? And it said, it says we have to reboot now. And it's like, yeah, fine. That's no problem.
But, make yourself happy. Yeah, really. I went through the same thing, but I bought mine months ago.
Yeah.
And I went through two or three Jelly Bean updates before I got to KitKat.
Now, even with KitKat, I have noticed that the latest hardware, it's much better. It's much improved over earlier versions of Android that I saw, but I do notice sometimes some hesitation in scrolling. Not so much in the actual Google apps when you're going from page to page on apps and stuff, that's fine. But again, it's inside apps that every once in a while you'll see there'll be a stutter sometimes as you're scrolling.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Yeah. It's not as smooth as an iPad.
But it's way better than it used to be. It much better. So they only have
Well, like I said, I bought this. I would say like 6 or 7 months ago, when KitKat wasn't even a rumor yet. And mainly because it was on sale.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where I bought it, but I had like credits. So it ended up costing me about $50-$60 with tax and all. You know, so it was like it was like a no brainer. Yeah. It says, "Oh, really? Yeah, sure, I'll buy that." Because it was like things that were expiring, and I had to buy something or just lose the points. And it was like, "Oh, well, this is cool."
Yeah.
And you know, I've really enjoyed it. I really like it a lot.
Yeah,
I take it with me everywhere I go. Yeah. I ride along with my iPad, and I use them both. And I do tend to find that I use the iPad more because I find greater utility with it. But that's because I've got apps that are on my iPad and on my desktop Macs that can share files. And, you know, that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, I can update things on my iPad, and I can come home and bring up the same app, and the updates are there in the cloud. And it's like, yeah, okay, this works well, you know. But, you know, with the Nexus 7, it doesn't really seem to sync to anything else.
Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you,
Michael!
I got to tell you that I'm pretty happy with the Play store there, the Google Play store. It seems they've got a lot of apps, and I've been able to pretty much get the apps that I have on my iPhone, same apps on my iPhone on the Nexus 7.
There's a few missing.
But
the way I feel about that, it's the same thing as back into the Mac versus Windows days. You remember those back in the 80s where everybody was talking about, well, all the best applications are on Windows and Macintosh has nothing. You know, well, guess what? All the best applications that everybody wanted to use on Windows were also available on the Macintosh.
Yep.
The extra 300,000 apps that only a handful of people used in Windows might not be on Macintosh. Yeah. And nobody gave a shit. Like, so what? We're only playing with numbers. And it's the same kind of thing with the iPad versus Android tablets. It was like, sure, the Android has the iPad has 475,000 apps available, but the 200,000 ones that everybody really wants to use are available on both. So, big deal. We're kicking around numbers for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's the same argument back and forth. And some people get caught up in this stuff, and it's like, really? Does this really matter? What apps do you want to use that you can't use on both? Very few.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I were to grade this, and I would still give an iPad an A+, and I would give this a good solid A. Is what I'm
Yeah, I agree with that rating.
Yeah.
I would go along the same way.
Yeah. But they have room to grow, and that's the neat thing. And they are open source, so you know, there could be some good ones. It's just you gotta, as you were just saying in there, you gotta mine the apps a little more. And mine, MINE perhaps.
Yeah.
So But overall, I'm happy with it, and I do tend, I guess because it's new, too, I grab it all the time and just to say, oh, what can I do with this, you know? Let's see if I can do that here. Yeah, so, but it's overall, I like it. I would say, I'd give it a buy, and it's definitely a little bit cheaper than the iPad Mini.
The least closest iPad, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, I would agree with you. It is a really definite buy because it is fun to play with. It's easy to use, and it has a friendly interface. You know,
right.
So I would say, yeah, go ahead and don't hesitate buying one of these because it really is a well built device. But I would say, don't go looking at the Samsung or other company equivalent.
No.
Definitely buy the Google version of the Nexus.
Go 7. Straight straight Google.
That exactly, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Go back to the mothership. The mother knows best.
Yep, exactly. So
the mothership of the Nexus version.
Yeah, right. Michael. Yes.
Michael's back. He's out of the digital desert.
Yep, I'm on the microwave uplink now.
In the man cave.
Ooh. You betcha.
Yeah, you sound good.
Wow, you're sounding really solid and deep. Your voice sounds good.
Nice to have decent equipment again.
There you
the
go.
iPhone is great to have, but there's no substitute for a microphone, a mixer, and a MacBook Pro.
Exactly. Exactly. So I was just going to get on to the next thing. Joel, handbrake works awesome.
Wake up, Joel.
What? For educational purposes.
Hey, I heard him. He was sitting there. He was probably perusing Craigslist while we had the Nexus 7.
Actually, I am for a new Toyota truck.
Oh, there we go. I told you.
But, you know, the irony of the whole thing, whilst I sit here and listen to you and Barty very, very informatively discuss back and forth and back and forth and back and forth the wonders of Google and all the fuzzy Nexus 7 shit. And for 3 years, I listened to you guys pontificate about goddamn Apple, and I didn't have any Apple shit. So I had to go on for 20 minutes of listening about how wonderful Apple is. So what do? Yes, late to the game, bought all Apple shit. And now, the minute I have a house full of Apple shit, all you guys do is pontificate about how wonderful Google shit is. Well, guess what? I'm not buying it. I'm done.
No, you didn't really. You were too busy. You were too busy paying attention to Craigslist there, because we actually said that Apple is we prefer Apple over this, but you have to get one if you're a gadget lover. You have to get something in the Android field so you can openly and honestly say, oh, I've tried both, and this is what I think.
Well, I'm going to take you and your Kit Kat sandwich, and you can stick that in your pocket.
Now, what did I give? What did I give the iPad? What was the grade I gave the iPad?
I don't know. I fell asleep. Right. 20
okay.
minutes in.
A+. A+ for the iPad. What did I give the Nexus 7? A.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. So now we're.
I'm jumping in late on this, Joel, but there is no substitute for the Apple Gear, and when it comes to security.
Thank you.
Yeah, when it comes to security, NSA can get into any one of your Apple products, according to
that's what they said. It was like iOS 3.x is what they were talking about.
Yeah, I know. And oh, by the way, yeah, good chance that if NSA can get into Apple products, they can probably get into any of the other products, too.
Right.
Just saying, well, you know.
There again, I'm not really all that worried about any of the NSA getting in any of my shit, because, you know, nobody's going to see that. I got $12 in my checking account. What do I care?
Yeah, really.
Okay. So
yeah, if they can balance the budget on that, they can have it.
Oh, excuse me.
But, no, I, in all honesty, in checking this stuff out, I lost my damn place. Where am I? Here it is. I
lost my
handbrake.
Harmonica, Albert.
Barry, you had recommended Handbrake, and I had a bunch of, let's call them files, that had sound and video that would not play on my Samsung TV. And I've had them for ages, and I just kind of accepted it. Now, if I played them with a VLC player on my laptop and use the HDMI cable, plug it into the TV, yes, I could watch it, but that's kind of a pain in the ass, because Santa... thankfully bought me a 2 terabyte external hard drive from Newegg.
Oh, very good.
So I'm like, great. Now, rather than I've got four and five, you know, external hard drives, 60 here, 20 there, 50 there, I can take all this junk and compile it into one area and then organize it and then have that always plugged into the TV. And sure enough, I came across a bunch of these files. I'm like, oh, yeah, that particular audio-video file doesn't play. And I almost said the word movie. And and then sure enough, I went, wait a tick. Mr. Barry said, well, put it through Handbrake.
So that's right. Blame it on Barry.
So I went ahead and fired up Handbrake. on my Windows laptop.
Barry is proliferating how to abuse movies.
No, not at all. This is only.
It was not me. You can't pin this rap on me. It's a bum rap.
This is to convert your own homemade movies from one format to another.
No. This is to make backups. Yeah, you're just making backups in case the original disc fails.
Well, that too.
If it gets a scratch on the bottom of the DVD.
Yeah. Your dog licks it or scratches it.
My cat threw up on it. Something.
A toaster thing.
So I used Handbrake for the first time, and man, is that a nice piece of software.
Yeah.
And it has
a cool icon, too.
It does. I love the drink with the little
pineapple umbrella
in it and everything. Honest to God, though, I went in there, did a little reading as far as different formats and file formats for different types of audio, video, backed up files, and said, okay, let's try this sound setting, and this codec here, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Everything plays on it now.
Yeah.
Using Handbrake, so thank you very, very much. I am totally impressed with this software.
Because I use that to convert, my home videos, and so I can then load them into iTunes on my my server, my mini Mac mini server up mini Mac, my Mac mini server up here, and then I can play it through Apple TV.
Exactly.
Right.
You can also pile it on your iPad and watch it in a hotel room when you're on travel.
That's also true. Yes.
That's what I do with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I've gone to watching some of the stuff on my big screen TV through the Apple TV, and it works great because I just go to my library that's on the Mac Mini upstairs, and it can hit and watch any of those things. Right, that are listed there, those home videos that I have.
All those home movies of Sammy.
Yeah. We sometimes have Sammy marathons.
Exactly. Sammy marathons and Charlie marathons.
Yeah, there we go. So yes, it's an excellent tool, and well worth the price you pay for it.
Yes, absolutely. the price is right. It's really cost effective.
Right. So what's this I hear? I'm looking at the next topic here.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like somebody's investing into Apple a little bit more.
Oh, just I think a little bit is not quite descriptive enough with how deep the plunge has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, PC Boy. Please, tell us.
Yes, PC Boy went and came across a hell of a deal and purchased as a Santa, in the role of Santa, for his daughter, a MacBook from 2008 vintage. That was in really looked to be really good shape and was in 10 times better condition and shape than I had even anticipated when it arrived.
Wow.
It has iWorks and GarageBand, and it's running Lion on it currently. Okay. It is 2 gigs of RAM, 200 gig hard drive. Everything works. It just friggin' works. The only thing is it didn't come with an Apple charger.
Okay.
So, naturally, I jump on Amazon.com and bought 2. And you say to yourself, well,
why did you buy 2?
Because the first one was so friggin' good.
No, let Barry do that.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sound.
Barry, okay, ready? Barry, wait, come wait, on. Wait. Why did I buy 2? Because the first one was so good, I went out and bought another one that's 2009 vintage.
Ah.
And that one showed up today.
Yay!
That's why I was late for the show, because I was busy setting up my MacBook.
Are you using the MacBook
I thought it was your daughter's MacBook.
No, I bought her one, and then hers was so nice that I went back to the same seller and bought me one.
It was so nice, you had to buy it twice.
Exactly. Except, like I said, now hers is not upgradable to Mavericks because if it's a 2008.
Okay.
Ooh.
Mine is upgradable to Mavericks, and it also has a 2 gig RAM, 200 gig hard drive, iWorks, a whole bunch of extra software that came along with it. And if I buy Mountain Lion for the $19.99, I can then upgrade for free to Mavericks.
Okay.
And I can slam in up to 8 gigs of RAM.
Isn't that amazing? $20 and you get two versions of the OS.
Yeah,
and how much is that Windows 8.1?
Ow! So yes, yeah, so realistically, the biggest,
exactly.
biggest investment I'm going to have with it is buying the upgraded RAM from our friends at OWC.
Yep.
And they're wonderful friends.
Yes, they are. Very good friends.
Many times, and they're everything I've gotten from them, I've been totally satisfied with. Yeah, OWC rules.
I go to no
best
other
prices
place.
And best quality.
I go to no other place.
And they are not part of this show. They don't provide any money, right, Barry?
No.
Or beer.
Yeah. I wish they did. I wish they did.
Is that the White Poly 2009?
Yes.
Okay. That one will also take a 1 terabyte drive. You can also get that from OWC mm-hmm. when the time comes. And that's the version that I switched over to my, you know, I gave to my wife when I got the Pro. Mm-hmm. And those White Poly ones, the Wi-Fi range in those things are fantastic because they don't have all that extruded aluminum away.
Right, right.
You'll find that thing is super, super sensitive for Wi-Fi networks. And it's got a 5.8 gig receiver in it as well, by the way.
You know what? Those very same words from your mouth, which you said the first time when I was researching them, rang true when I fired up my daughter's and then again mine today. I actually heard your words in my head because I went, where the hell do all these Wi-Fi networks come from? It's finding networks, because I live in the city, from everywhere.
Michael, your voice is in Josh's head.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, when you had said, exactly. It is awesome on Wi-Fi. I went from my other computers will find, or whatever, handheld handsets. There's like 6 networks that typically most of them will find in this area. I came up with like a list of 20. And I went, holy shit, this thing's being networked all over the place.
Well, if it starts silently breaking into some of those networks, let me know. I want one.
Well, I was going to say, do any of those people have better bandwidth than you do?
I got pretty good bandwidth.
I doubt it. Definitely not tonight.
I mean, especially not tonight, but like I said, at any given particular point, which leads into the next topic, if I may.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Roll, Joel.
The old internet was down here on the homestead for a little bit, for about 2 days. Actually, a day and a half.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, Michael. I know it's not as traumatic as 2 weeks, but
you also didn't have to climb up on a mountain.
I didn't have to climb a mountain. I just had to take off.
In the raging wind with piles of snow.
And minus 45 degree weather.
Exactly.
And Michael, we do want to hear about that. We want that on record in this show.
I was perusing through the house, and clumsily, I had one area where I didn't run. I have DSL, high-speed DSL, so the wire from the jack runs probably about 35 feet, about 35 feet to my modem, my router. At one spot, I got a little bit lazy, and rather than run it up and over and around the doorway going down my hall, I just laid it on the floor and threw a rug on top of it.
Okay.
Because I couldn't be bothered. Well, my beautiful bride said, hey, it's time to clean that Japanese rug that's in the hallway. So the cord was just there, and I decided, I guess, as I was walking through not paying attention, I didn't pick up my feet quite enough.
Oh, no.
I caught the telephone wire coming from the telephone DRJ32 jack, and I thought for sure I would have ripped it right out of the horsehair plaster. That's how hard I tripped over that wire. I was surprised it didn't break.
Huh.
And coincidentally, 20 minutes later, while watching a Netflix movie, all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. And I went, well, it can't be me tripping over the wire. That was 20 minutes ago. Well, it was. And so I called my
Barry. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry.
Man, you're too slow, man.
Well, it was. There you go. I
did. Keep your finger on the trigger.
All right.
So, after three phone calls to my ISP and trying to get someone, that's to say that where English is the first language, with that.
And they understood that TCP was not part of marijuana, but part of IP.
Exactly, TCP/IP. And I'm like, I said, let's try and ping my modem. Well, how do I want to do it? I'll do the best I can. The most polite. I am trying to be helping onto you, but I cannot be doing it right now. And I cannot be seeing onto the computer. And now you put the and I'm like, dude, I'm telling you what to do. Well, if you can ping it, my line's good all the way into the house. If you can't ping it, then we got to start. It's my problem's in the walls here. Lo and behold, after one whole night, and I got up the next day, and I was bugging me all night because I couldn't play Ghosts
on
Xbox Live. And I was pissed because all my buddies were getting on that night. So I said, okay, I'm taking the jack apart on the wall. And wouldn't you know it, one flathead screw, back it out, and not one, but two wires were broken. Inside.
It takes four.
Yeah, it does for a ring and tip. Yes, it does. Yes. And my green and my yellow both were busted. They were barely, the insulation was holding together, but the wire was broken inside of it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's no good.
So I said, okay.
Insulation does not transmit power.
No, it doesn't. So I went ahead, and you think that it would have been nice if they had given me a little bit more room, but the minute I touched it, the yellow one crumbled, the yellow wire. So that because I'm trying to strip it back, and those wires are thin. Yes. So you really can't use wire strippers so much as your best bet is to use a Bic lighter, and you melt the insulation off and pull it.
You would laugh out here because everything is all very heavy copper core. All the wires are very heavy copper.
That's good.
Yeah. I managed to. Good.
It's nice, except between here and the switch station is not necessarily quite that solid.
Ah, gotcha.
But everything in the house, every jack I look at, it's all like solid copper wire, and like, man, this stuff must be old because you can't afford this crap these days.
No, exactly. You got 16-gauge solid core copper wire in every jack, and here I got something like 32-gauge wire. So I did manage to strip it and pigtail them together, and like magic, my internet came back on. So that being said, I'm like, all right, I got to go. You know, this is the weirdest thing. So I said, okay, well, I'll go out tomorrow, and I'll buy another RJ32 jack, and then I'll pull this old shitty one off, which is probably the original one with the house, you know, when they first put it in, and I'll wire in a new jack. Thinking, well, that won't be hard to find because I can just pick one up at the telephone aisle section at a Walmart or at a Radio Shack. Guess who doesn't cover that crap? Well, I didn't go to Radio Shack. I went to Walmart and I went to Best Buy. None of them have telephone jacks.
Best Buy wouldn't.
No, they don't hardly have telephones. Everything is wireless now.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is you can buy a telephone handset that plugs into your iPhone, so you can sit there and talk on your iPhone like you had an old analog phone.
Yep.
How stupid is that?
You know, and I'm sitting here, and I said, the other thing, the knowledge base, Michael will really appreciate this as well. The knowledge base when you walk into any electronics section and you say, I need an RJ32 jack, and they look at you like, I need an Immunium Pu-36 explosive space modulator. That's the look that I got. They're like, what? It's an RJ32. And they said, well, what's that? I said, you know the telephone jack that's in your grandma's house? That the phone plugs into. And he says, you mean that thing that had that kind of piece of string that came out? I said, yeah, that's called wire. And there used to be a chair in the corner, usually up in the hallway. That was called a telephone chair. And there was a telephone on it because the houses had one telephone. And you went to that chair to sit down in the telephone chair and make fun. He said, yeah, the jack that some bitch plugs into, I need one of them. Wow, you need old stuff. And I'm like, you know what, kid, I hate you.
Yeah.
I remember even before they came up with those, they had the four-prong telephone connectors.
Yes.
That's going way back.
My best friend got in trouble with the phone company because when his parents passed away and he and his siblings finally got around to liquidating the property and selling the house and all, he wanted to keep the phone.
Yeah.
The phone company was upset because he wanted to keep the phone that had one of those four-prong connectors on it. It was one of those really heavy Bakelite phones.
Yep.
You remember those?
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Yeah. He wanted to keep the phone. And they were like, well, that's not your property. It belongs to us. And he was like, what are you talking about? You're not even the same phone company that existed when my parents bought this thing.
Exactly. I'm taking the phone.
Yeah. They're great.
So he was like, well, sue me. And he took the phone. They were actually thinking of suing him. But they couldn't really find enough grounds because they really did not own the phone.
It's ridiculous. I used to collect.
Ma Bell owned it, but they didn't.
I used to collect phones, the old Bakelite, and I used to rebuild them. And because I love old telephones, but seeing as I don't even have a conventional, I have a dry loop line for my DSL. It's not even a real house phone telephone number. It's just a dry loop for the internet.
Okay.
So I stopped collecting phones, and I'm like, I don't know what I need it for. But
go ahead. So you finally got the plug you were looking for.
No. I went to a Radio Shack. I said, I need an RJ32 jack. He goes, well, we only ever stock one a year. And we don't have it in stock right now. And I'm like, dude, you got to order me one because I'm kind of frustrated with this. And, you know, I did not go to Home Depot or Lowe's yet. I have a feeling I might
don't
be able
you have
to
a
find
Lowe's
one there. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't gone to the Lowe's yet.
They would probably have them.
So, really?
Believe it or not, the hardware store would have stuff for the telephone.
An Aubuchon hardware store would probably have one, too.
Yeah.
We have Aubuchon out here. So, but the weirdest thing, I mean, I'm still working with, and here's the weird part. The wires were so broken when I pigtailed them together, the things you guys know this, but one of the three listeners we have may not. They use a thing called a chiclet. That's a trade name. It's whenever you put these two wires together and you splice them, you put this cover that crimps on over top of them, sort of like to weather protect it. I didn't have any more chiclets. So I had to end up making some out of, all I had was a 3M Super 33, which is, it's electrical tape, but each layer is good for 33,000 volts. So it's more rubber than anything.
I think that would work.
I guess that'll work.
Exactly. So, since I put those on, I can't put the cover back on. So it's kind of gently dangling in the hallway right now, which is what I'm on right this second.
You got to get those jewels of Drock Strap to keep them up off the floor.
Apparently, I need to trip over my wire because you got much better bandwidth than I do right now.
It's never been this good. I was suspecting that. I can tell when the technician put it together, he actually spliced or halfway through one of those wires when he was putting it together.
Hmm.
So I've never had. I mean, I have got some real solid signal on bandwidth now.
Wow!
Since I got it pigtailed together, which is not the most ideal way for a signal to travel across copper wire or across the top of a pigtail. But I'm thinking, once I put a good one in, I ought to be styling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what happens when you trip over the DSL cord from the RJ32 jack and. That was once I said to my wife, hey, I fixed it. She's like, oh, great. What was it? I'm an idiot.
she had no argument to offer you, right?
None. Not absolutely one at all. She's like, so you broke it and then you fixed it. I'm like, well, yeah. She said, well, good job. I can go check my Facebook. Yeah, exactly. So that was my adventures with internet.
While you were talking about that, I have to tell you that breaking news came in from WCVB Channel 5 in Boston. Local girl gets tongue stuck to flagpole.
No, sir.
Just telling you. Watch Channel 5 tonight.
Unbelievable.
That was breaking.
Every year there's some kid that's got to try it, but the fact that it's breaking news.
And breaking news from Channel 5.
They have nothing else to talk about, seriously.
Yeah.
Come on. Boston's not the largest city around, but it's a good enough sized city where there's stuff happening all the time.
Yeah. Somebody had to get shot in Dorchester, a Jamaica plane, but you're telling me that there the girl gets tongue stuck to the pole is the breaking
news. That's the breaking news out of Boston tonight. So you tried Battlefield 4?
Oh, yes. Santa brought Battlefield 4.
I got it. Before you start, I got to admit that the commercials for Battlefield 4 look really cool.
The game itself is very cool.
Yeah.
This is
on the 360?
This is on the 360.
Okay.
What I will say is that the gameplay is so radically different than the Call of Duty first-person shooters that I'm used to. There's a learning curve.
Ah.
And as far as how you actually interact and how your character interacts with all, you can interact with anything in the surrounding on your map. Anything. Walls, bricks, windows, helicopters, trucks, just like real life. You could pick up a candlestick holder and throw it if there was one on a shelf.
Well,
anything.
Battlefield 3 was that way, not quite to that extent, but you were able to interact with a wider variety of things with that than you were with Call of Duty.
Right. 4 is you can interact with everything.
Wow.
And that's kind of cool.
You can actually trip over holes in the ground.
Really?
So when you're running, you can trip over half a log. I mean, it's like real life. So the learning curve was pretty steep. I'm still getting into it. The first 10 minutes of it, I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't digging it. And then the more I played it, the more I'm like, this is cool. Now, the first time I jumped into an Apache gunship, then I was really feeling the love. I was really like, this game you can't even go online and start playing online against other people until you can achieve so many things offline to learn how to interact with it all.
Wow.
That's been my experience.
Wow.
So it's pretty darn cool, man. I will say, will it become my replacement for Call of Duty? Probably not. And it'll become an addition to.
Aha. Uh-huh. Interesting.
I kind of like it better than Call of Duty.
I'm starting to sway that way myself.
I played Call of Duty first, and I went through the first two or three iterations, and I thought it was, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against Call of Duty because I have a blast playing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really fun game. I mean, there's nothing wrong with either of these games. Anybody can have a good time playing them.
Mm-hmm.
But Call of Duty seems to have, especially when you go into the online environment, it seems to have more glitches to it. And it seems like players seem to be able to bounce like bunnies and just blow you away in the process.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
done. Did Ghost,
how does that happen?
They eliminated that. You play Ghost.
I play Ghost.
You play
no,
Ghost.
No.
Ghost plays like Battlefield 4. There's no more run and gun. There's no more Halo jumping and no more super falls and all that kind of crap that you found with Black Ops 2. Honest to God, Ghost is a lot like real life. You really make sure when you run and camp at a spot, run and then sit, run and then sit. You don't run and gun like you did the old ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's more my speed.
Well, you don't have a speed, Barry.
Yeah, shut up.
Well, come on. Let's be honest here. How much have you played?
I haven't played in a while.
Exactly. So, I played Call of Duty for a while, and that really was pretty much my shooter of choice. And I tried Battlefield, and it was okay, but the original Battlefield could not hold a candle at all to Call of Duty.
Right.
And I got into Battlefield 3 on my PS3. I got a sale price on it. So I figured, well, what the heck? I turned in a couple of games, and I got the brand new Battlefield 3, got some updates. And I really did enjoy it a whole lot more than Call of Duty 4. It was, to me, it was a whole lot more fun. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot more realistic. damage was much more permanent.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like you could, like, duck down for a while and, you know, heave your breath for a while and your pain would go away and you'd be perfect and you could run. Mm-hmm. You got hurt in Battlefield 3, you were hurt.
Yeah.
And you had to find a way to continue while being hurt, you know, until you could get patched up. And I thought that was really kind of cool, and I was kind of looking forward to seeing that in Battlefield 4.
All right, and it's that way. Honestly, it's incredibly impressive. It really, really is. I like Battlefield 4 a lot. I love Ghosts, and Ghosts is nothing like the normal Call. Like take everything you know about all the other Call of Duties that we've played and that you know about, and throw it away, because Ghosts is nothing like it.
Wow.
Well, a lot of young kids are going to hate that. Those teenagers,
you know what?
Running gun are going to just, well, be just totally torqued.
I'm going to jump right on your bandwagon. There are so many kiddies, and we call them the kiddies, the kiddies hate Ghosts with a passion because they can't run and gun because the environment is so real and lifelike. They don't even play it. I mean, at any point in time, you could jump in a lobby, and there was probably half the lobby was a bunch of kiddies, especially depending upon what time of day. But on a Saturday afternoon, and the average mean age is 14, and if you were lucky, and they've all got the attention spans of gnats. They don't take anything serious. They all run with hacks or modded controllers. And you really can't play for shit because you don't stand a chance against someone who's got a programmed controller that turns a semi-automatic rifle into a friggin' machine gun. You know, you're just like, this is no longer any fun, and I'm getting pissed off, and I'm a grown-ass man, I'm getting ready to throw this controller through the friggin' window. So so the idea behind it being is with Ghosts, the kiddies ran out, Mommy, Daddy, buy me Ghost. Mommy, Daddy spend $65. You know, Johnny McHackam gets on there and finds out that the field has been leveled. There is no more run and gun like there was in Black Ops 2. And your ass will get smacked up by someone who's playing smart.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. That's one of the reasons why I really didn't care to buy Ghosts, because I thought it was just going to be just more of the same crap.
It is very much so not.
I had gotten really sick and tired of Call of Duty because, you know, I like playing it. And I like playing it online, mm-hmm. but the only reason I was really continuing with the series was simply because my son and grandson was there and I could play with them. You know, and other than that, I went to my PS3 and played Battlefield 3, you know, enjoyed that a whole lot more because it was a whole lot more serious, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And they've really, the serious level is way up now on 4. And the neat thing is that, you know, Activision listened to the players and said, look, we're sick and tired of the kiddies. We call them baldies.
Baldies.
And, exactly, bald face.
They're kind of like you.
No, this is very much so different. Baldies, all the kids are known as baldies because basically they got no hair in their face and no hair in their balls, so you know they're little kids. And,
That's a good one.
And so all the baldies, just, they can't play it. They don't like to play it. They're really not happy with it. And if you're going to, you know, I've seen a million kids where they would boost, you know, shooting each other and just to gain the points that get up. Well, that's not going to bring your skill set up on this game. Matter of fact, all you're doing is hurting yourself because the first time you run into a real lobby with real players, your ass is just, you're going to get shot full of holes. And you're not even going to see where it's coming from. So it takes and it work. Holy shit, is there a ton of work? I mean, just to get the ghillie suit, there's two different levels of ghillie suits in Call of Duty. In Ghosts, you have to run with a sniper rifle, what's called a chrome barrel, which is an attachment. You got to get 850 headshots.
I don't like being a sniper because you just kind of lay around. You know, I like running and gunning more.
Well, then
I like
you're
being
gonna be
mobile.
Now you get mobile in Ghosts, but you do a lot more sitting and watching, see what's moving in your environment.
Yeah, okay. I like that, but, you know, a sniper to me is a guy that sits in a very, very tall building and just sits there all day long waiting for an enemy to move down below.
Sounds good to me.
Well, yeah. There are some lobbies that I get in with guys that are so good, I'm like, you know what? All I'm going to do is camp. I'm going to find me this little corner over here back behind this door. I'm going to build a little bonfire. I'm going to make me some s'mores because my ass ain't moving because I'm tired of getting shot.
Burn up some hot dogs. Yeah.
And,
yeah, well, you know, that fire and the smoke is going to draw attention.
They'll smell the hot dogs from a mile away. But,
especially if they're hungry.
Alpha 4 was the same way. It's darn good. You don't run like crazy and just shoot and then, you know, panic fire.
Yeah, that's what I like about Battlefield 3. I mean, you know, you had to really move as a unit. You know, you and then, even if you were playing on a single player mode, you had to stay with your team or you were dead.
Yeah.
You know? And if you played online, you had to play with your team and your team had to interact with you. And we all had to plan things together and move in unison. You know, we all had a plan. Each person was going to go into these areas and do these things. And that was that. Where, you know, with Call of Duty, you all follow each other into an area, and then it's like a free-for-all. Everybody just runs everywhere they want to go because the enemy is just kind of like bopping up and down, you know? And it's like, well, okay, you really can't plan against that kind of an occurrence,
right.
You know? But in Battlefield 3, you could because they weren't going to be doing that kind of thing. They're going to be approaching you the same way you were approaching them. And it was much more predictable, much more in a more of a realistic manner.
Right.
And I kind of like that better.
I hear you. I definitely hear you. It's you know, I like Battlefield 4 because it's much the same way. The new Call of Duty Ghosts is again the same way. I think it's for a more mature player.
Huh.
Hands down.
Very good. Cool.
So that's the late night QRM video game report for the evening.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I think we ought to move on to the weather. And, Michael, you are front and center, since you are Weather Central. Michael?
Oh, he's muted.
Michael?
Michael's muted. He's playing. He's doing something.
Somebody needs to tap Michael. All right, well, so that segue didn't work. What's next on the list, skipping the weather?
Well,
sorry, Michael.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
No, this frickin' network is connecting every 3 to 5 minutes on me, so every time it reconnects. It automatically mutes me.
I was wondering what's going on.
I'm working with.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm working with network guys, and what's going on? The connection problem is past Hurricane Electric again. I'm doing trace routes on it.
Bummer. I've seen two of you show up on here every.
Yeah, it's because I keep dropping off and then showing up and dropping off. Yeah.
You and your doppelganger keep popping in and out.
Yeah, didn't we jump around here then? Where were we?
Oh, well, we were going to talk about...
We were talking about weather. When you first dropped into the digital wilderness, where there was the land where there was no signal, we started talking about weather, and I said, no, we can't talk about this until Michael is around. So we're coming back around to the topic of weather, and I said, okay, let's ping Michael, and let's Michael start talking about the weather that he's experiencing, because let's face it, you are 100% in Weather Central. There at the top of the finger.
Wow, the finger. You call it the finger now.
I'm getting it for sure.
Well, we're recording. I can't say the same thing again.
We were recording before, too.
Oh, were you?
Yes. All right,
so, Michael, top of the dick, what's the weather?
Michael.
Anyhow, I think you're getting more. You've had more sleep. Am I coming through?
You're coming
yes,
through.
Yes, you are. You are, Michael. We can hear you. All
right. Well, there's our exit for the night. I'm getting treated because I'm working with them on this problem. And it's like, you know,
are having problems.
Saturday night. We're getting, and we're 45 days of continuous sandwich at this point. And...
You're sidelining a little bit, Michael. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Am I still getting through?
Yeah, you're getting through. You're almost legible.
Yeah, you're kind of weak. Kind of weakly sounding.
Are you there?
No. I'll honor a bit here, okay? Let's see if I can hear.
All right. So let's go on to the next topic. And we'll come back to the weather when Michael is a bit more solid.
Well, we know what it's doing in the Upper Peninsula anyway. It's cold and snowing. That's all it does this time of year. It's cold, windy, and snowing.
Yeah. And there were some really serious challenges there that would have been really nice to hear Michael talk about personally, since he's the one that's fixing the shit.
Well, he has talked about it in the previous show. I think he actually talked about the trip up on Brockway. Oh, look, I said it right. Brockway Valve.
Yes, he did. And you did say it right. Yeah, he talked about it quite extensively on his personal podcast,
right.
A podcast that shall not be named.
And he actually talked about
it. But you can get it on iTunes.
Show.
You can get it there. So. You ought to listen to that. It's a really awesome, very, very short podcast. I would say daily, but it's not quite daily. But as often as he can get it out, he talks about life and experiences and in Copper Harbor and on the way to and from Chicago and Milwaukee and other places. It's an awesome podcast. Let's check it out. The podcast that shall not be named.
It's a great podcast. And usually it's mobile. You can either hear him with footsteps or in the Jeep or
like a Jeep cast or
in the family truckster. It adds a little ambiance to it.
Mom's Mercury.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Sable.
Yeah, the Mercury. That's a company that's no longer in business. That's Ford put it to bed.
That's right.
I didn't realize that. Did they?
Yeah, quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
I completely missed it.
Yeah. Chrysler put Plymouth to bed, and Ford put Mercury to bed. All these age-old companies of our youth.
Oldsmobile's gone, I know that.
Yeah.
Did they do away with Oldsmobile?
Yeah, Oldsmobile's
gone. Yes, they did.
Wow.
Yes, they did.
Wow.
So if you want an Oldsmobile, you have to go look for your father's Buick.
I have an Oldsmobile.
Well, hang on to it, because once it's gone, you can't buy a new one.
And start buying lots of spare parts.
Yeah, really?
We need to normalize relations with Cuba. Make them a full-on regular partner and just get all those used cars out of there. Sell them all brand-new crappy American cars made overseas.
Yeah, that'll happen.
But, they've got all these old, awesome 50s and 60s Chevys and Fords. We need to get them all out of there, back to the U.S.
They are pretty neat cars, and they keep them in pretty good shape.
Yeah, chicken wire goes a long way.
So the next topic on the list was I went down to visit my relatives in Pennsylvania, which was
I went down to the crossroads. Well, really, just to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but it's I haven't been traveling much lately, and that's the longest trip I've taken in quite a while. And,
oh my God! And really?
Yeah.
You call that a trip?
Well, it's I haven't even been doing business trips lately, so it's it's about a 6-hour drive down there. Actually, I think it took me 5.5 because I took the Merritt Parkway down, which was that's a fun road to drive on because it's basically four lanes, two lanes on each side, cars only, and well, let's put it this way: most of the way, the on ramps, if you want to call them on ramps, onto the Merritt Parkway have stop signs at the end of them. And so people are trying to merge into traffic doing 70 or 80 miles an hour. So it's...
Hey, great idea.
It's a fun, curvy road to be on.
I love Frogger.
Yeah, really.
Sounds like running gun.
And there's big signs. When you get on the thing, there's big signs that say, no trucks, cars only. Right? Because also the Merritt Parkway has these beautiful bridges that cross it. And they're Art Deco type bridges. They're kind of fancy and they're all different styles. And it's pretty, but they're also very low bridges. I mean, it was strictly made for cars. This is a highway for cars. Well, on the way back, I took the Merritt and I got onto it. And as soon as I got onto it, it was like boom, stopped. And it probably for about 15, 20 minutes, I was crawling along. And then finally found out what the problem was. On the next entrance ramp up, a tractor trailer decided to ignore the signs, and he decided to try to take the Merritt Parkway. And he was successful until he came to the first bridge. And yeah, the top of his trailer was completely ripped off. Laying all over the place.
I think I saw that in the news.
Did you?
Really pay attention to where it was, but they were talking about this tractor trailer that had the top of the trailer ripped off in the news, and it might have been that one because the tractor got through, but the entire top of the trailer was totally curled up.
Yep.
You know, like somebody had taken like a sardine can and just kind of like coiled it up.
Yeah, that must have been it.
It was like crap all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was. You know, luckily, I mean, the guy didn't get hurt or anything because the tractor part
it's
went under the
him.
Bridge. Yeah, but the trailer sure didn't make it. And I mean, it literally sheared the entire top off of it.
Wow. You know, I never even thought about that because, you know, I didn't know you were going to Pennsylvania, obviously. But, you know, when I saw that picture, you know, it said it occurred in Pennsylvania. I didn't really pay my whole lot of attention. And I just thought, man, that guy, what an idiot, you know. And it must have been a sign because we have the same thing happen regularly here in Syracuse. There's a railroad bridge that goes over that's not even a highway. It's kind of like a side street byway kind of thing to go around a section of the city so you could avoid traffic and stuff. And there are plenty of signs, and because trucks have hit this thing and ripped the tops off and stuff for a number of years, so they keep putting more and more signs. And there are signs for like about 5 miles before this bridge warning people about the height of this bridge. And do not go further if you're carrying a trailer higher than this height. And yet, every friggin' year, there's like three or four trucks that crash into that stinking thing.
Yeah.
And the railroad bridge is like heavily anchored in edge of like concrete pylons. It is not giving whatsoever. So every truck that hits it gets totally tore up.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time. So now they're lowering the speed limit and they're putting more and more police on there monitoring trucks. And it's like, why don't you increase the fines on the frigging drivers that are driving those trucks? If the fines are high enough and people get scared enough, they won't take a chance.
Wow.
But, you know, there's no penalty, so they figure, what the hell, the company will cover it.
Wow. Huh.
You know?
Well, the other thing I noticed on my trip down and back up is, this was a plus. The last time I went down there, and it's been a few years, you know, they had Easy Pass, which, for those that may not be on the East Coast, that's our electronic way of paying tolls. It's called Easy Pass up and down the, East Coast. And
go through a toll booth and they suck it out of your paycheck.
Right. But usually,
your checking account.
The last time I went down, they had the toll booths and they had Easy Pass. Boys, you went through, but you still had to slow down and kind of go through a booth, an unmanned booth that was an Easy Pass lane. Well, this time I went down, there were signs, and people that did not have Easy Pass got exited onto a jug handle where there were booths on the side of the road. If you had Easy Pass, you just kept going, and they had the sensors right over the highway, and you just kept going full speed, you know, down, and that was for the bridges. And for the other couple places where there were tolls, and I said, wow, this is nice. You don't even have to slow down now. As long as you got Easy Pass. Now, I don't know how much the total trip cost me because I went over the Tappan Zee Bridge, and I understand that's probably, I think it's a total of like $12 because they only get you going one way. And, and you're basically paying for both, but you know, going over two times. When you hit the toll, but you know, I don't know. I'll have to go look at my Easy Pass bill, see how much it cost me to get down to Pennsylvania. But, that was a big improvement. Well, I got down there and I met some grandnephews I hadn't met yet And I saw my grandnieces and, of course my nieces and nephews and, went and visited, dear old dad, and had a good time. And of course my sisters were there and my brother-in-law. And, so we had a good time. But one of the places I wanted to visit while I was down there was an old hangout when I was in college and high school, and it's called Pudge's Steakhouse, or Pudge's Steaks. They make cheesesteaks and hoagies. That's their specialty. And these, well, I put pictures on Facebook and on Google Plus to show you guys. You know, you come up here and you ask for a large cheesesteak or steak bomb here.
And you want a steak and cheese?
Yeah, steak and
not
cheese.
A cheesesteak. It's a steak and cheese. I'm like, no, I want a cheesesteak.
But I look at them and they give me a large steak and cheese, and I said, "You call that a large?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "What's you know?" And they cut it in half, and that's a regular. And well, let's put it this way: my wife grew up in New Jersey, so she wasn't used to this. I did bring an extra cheesesteak home for her, and I brought an extra hoagie home for me. I brought out, and I had half a hoagie that I bought a full size hoagie when I was down there. I can't believe I used to be able to eat a whole one of these. I was only able to down half of it. So, anyway, I get home.
Well, that's probably not a bad thing.
I get home and I pull out the half a hoagie I didn't eat, and I said, "Here." And she goes, "Oh my God, they're huge!" I said, "Huge?" I said, "That's half." And I pulled out the other one and I said, "This is a hoagie, you know. The thing's about 3 feet long."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh my God!" And I said, "And I got you a cheesesteak." And I pulled out the cheesesteak, and that is also 3 feet long. You get a full size cookie pan. You got it. It'll only fit on it diagonally. That's how long these things are. And I got her a full size cheesesteak, knowing full well that I was going to eat 3/4 of it. But
yeah, you were really thinking of her, weren't you?
But I said, "This is what I grew up with, and believe it or not, I used to be able to sit down and eat an entire cheesesteak or an entire hoagie in one sitting. And now it's like, oh man, I was stuffed after just eating half." But boy, I miss those Pudge's. It's a great place. I understand they have 3 stores now. I just wish that they would open one up here in New Hampshire, because I don't know, you know.
I don't know. That's just not the way we make grinders up there in New England.
I know. You don't know how to make them. That's the problem.
You need lettuce and tomatoes and onions. You know, yeah. You need more than just beef and onions.
Oh, not only that, but you gotta stuff them. Stuff them full so that you can't even close the bread. I was in heaven eating my cheesesteak and eating my hoagie. Matter of fact, I finished the last half of the hoagie I brought home today.
And, really?
Yeah. So I have no more Pudge's hoagies. I figured I had to eat it today because, you know, it was in the refrigerator and I was afraid a couple more days and there's going to be more green on there than lettuce.
Green fuzzy.
Although I froze it when I brought it
home.
Well,
the picture you posted, I didn't really see any green. Is it really
lettuce? Well, no, I think I only gave you, I showed you a picture. Did I put a picture of the green's on the bottom? So that they put the lettuce on
yeah.
the bottom.
Yeah, okay, you can't see the green.
Yeah,
they put so much lettuce you can't see it.
You were looking at the wad of meats that they put in there.
Yeah, it was quite a wad. I will tell you. I'll agree with that. It was like a really heavy wad of meat. It was like meat and bread.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know where they get their rolls from, but literally they're like 3 feet long.
It has to be custom made.
Yeah, they get them from somewhere, but when you go to Pennsylvania and the Philly area especially, if you ask for a hoagie, that's the size you get. That's a large.
Yeah, well, it's not that way out of state college. I used to go out there all the time. It was part of
well, that's
when
not,
I first came up to.
That's not part of Pennsylvania.
Sure it is. It's the middle of the state.
No, that's not that's Pennsylvania.
That's where your state college is.
State, no, Pennsylvania ends after Quakertown. We don't know what that other part is.
You're talking about Western New Jersey. That's what the Penn Staters used to tell me when I was going on a state college and you start talking about Philadelphia and stuff. And so, yeah, well, that's Western New Jersey. That's not really Pennsylvania anymore, you know.
I guess different strokes for different folks.
Well, you know, I'm not from Pennsylvania, so, yeah. You know, I'm listening to you from one side of Pennsylvania and from them from the other side, you know, or from the middle, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and, they got a whole different opinion. But, hey, what can I say? But that was a pretty serious-looking sub. Those pictures were awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm hungry now thinking about it.
Joel's going to go down to the nearest sub shop and say, hey, don't give me no veggies. Just give me lots of meat and bread.
I make them here at home.
Cheese on it.
I only found one place that can come close that makes them like a cheese proper cheese steak, and that's in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Really?
And it's the same size, 3 foot long.
Really? Oh, wow. Huh.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah.
Don't tell Barry. Don't tell Barry. You don't want him going to Lowell. Lowell's a dangerous place.
It's not that bad.
Back when I lived in Nashville, it was. There were a lot of gang activity in Lowell. I mean, I used to work with somebody whose husband was a policeman in Lowell, and he moved his family outside of Lowell because that's how bad it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's still there. Just on the other side of the river.
Yeah, I'm sure there's two different
the side of the river.
Two different sections.
Sounds like what, Chelmsford?
Oh my.
So do we have Michael yet?
Michael, are you still there? Oh no, he must be talking to Mission Control because he's muted.
Okay.
I one brief tech note, podcast note actually. And we discussed this in a previous episode of Late Night QRM, and the fact that Twit fired Tom Merritt. They did not renew his contract. And so he is no longer doing tech news today. They switched over to Mike Elgin, I think his name is. And I listened to the first two with Mike Elgin, and I'm no longer listening to tech news today. Yeah, they've changed it. It's not my cup of tea. Sorry. But on the plus side, Tom Merritt has come out with a new daily tech news show, and it's called The Daily Tech News Show. And you can, I'll have a link
for it. Daily?
No, it's called The Daily Tech News Show. And he just started it.
That app is called The Daily.
Yeah, he just started it, and he says right now it's an experiment. They're figuring out the format, but the format is pretty much right now the same as Tech News Today was. And he has guests come on and do the news with him. I was glad, so glad he's doing a daily show because, when I saw that he had that up and running, I was okay to say, see you Tech News Today. I'm sticking with Tom Merritt because I've been getting my daily tech news from Tom Merritt for years now, and I will follow him wherever he goes because I just like his delivery, his professionalism, his balanced approach to everything. That's one Twitch show I'm no longer listening to, and I think Leo made a big mistake not renewing his contract. And he lost a couple other shows that he did, but they're back. What used to be called, Frame Rate? With Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood. Well, that's gone now, but a new one just popped up a couple of weeks ago called Cord Killers. And, it's just like Framework. So.
Yeah. These things tend to come and go. You know, it's just like Kelly Lewis, when she, broke away from her previous network and, switched over to Revision 3. She changed the name of her show slightly and, changed the format, made some tweaks and, you know, I always thought it was better the way it was, but well, I don't really pay much attention to it anymore.
She had to because the reason she changed the name and she switched networks is because she got a divorce from her husband. And her husband owned half the name Geek Brief, so they changed it to Geek Beat with her new
business
partner.
And I tell you what, it's just not as good a show. I don't even pay attention to it anymore. Where I used to, you know, pay attention to it regularly. And
well, she's not on it half the time.
And you know, and that child molester looking guy that she's got on there, he's just creepy. I can't deal with him. You know, he's just kind of a creepy looking guy.
Yeah, but he's worth a lot of money. Apparently, he started Whoopra.
I don't even want to go there. He just looks like a child molester, as far as I'm concerned. He's just so creepy looking, you know. Yeah, maybe I've watched too many episodes of Criminal Minds or something. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, the typical criminal that they show, you know, that's doing the most heinous crimes, or you know, on SVU. I mean, he seems like the most likely suspect, you know, and it's like I just can't look at that. I mean, I've seen too many episodes of those shows that I just can't look at a guy that looks like that. You know, and her delivery is just, I don't know, the whole year of the show has changed.
It's changed.
You know, and it's just not the same bouncy, happy show it used to be.
Right.
You know, so I don't follow it anymore. You know, as far as Tom Merritt, I never really paid much attention to him on Twitter, so it really doesn't affect me either way. Leo is, you know, kind of like changing things as far as I'm concerned, the way his manner is and the way he runs his business. He used to be kind of easygoing and things, but now he's, I'm not really sure just what it is that happened to him, but he seems to be more...
Money.
Well, yeah, and his significant other... Significant other is also the CEO of Twit. And I think she probably has more to do with it than
money.
Yeah,
money changes people, makes what used to be nice not nice.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jash. I think you hit it right on the head. So you know, it's getting to the point where you know, I don't really pay. I'm paying less and less attention to the Twit network than I ever did. So I used to listen to, I religiously listened to Windows Weekly. I used to listen to Mac Weekly. And I used to listen to some of the other shows on the network, but I've dropped all of those. And I don't even, to be honest with you, I don't even listen to the complete episodes of Twit week by week. I get partway through the show and I'm like, why am I listening to this crap?
I just
move on to the next one. You know, I don't really like podcasts that go on over an hour.
I don't either. I agree with you.
He tends to go on and on and on. And I tend to don't even pay that much attention to No Agenda anymore because they go on for like 3 freaking hours.
Jesus like, Christ almighty, I thought I was the only one.
I mean, I love No Agenda.
I do too, but it's too long.
Hang for 3 hours.
It's too long and it's twice a week, too.
Yeah,
it's like you could
don't have 6 hours a week to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, not to, you know, well, you know, one or two podcasts. I want to hear a wide variety of podcasts.
Right.
So I'm looking for things that are like 30 to 60 minutes in length so I can have a variety of podcasts to listen to day by day as I go to and from work. Because I don't listen to them at home very much, and I don't really watch video ones at all. You know, so it's like, come on.
And the other thing with, I still listen to him because I do like, but I think 3 hours for No Agenda is way too long. They should cut it down to an hour. And the thing I absolutely hate in between, now I know they don't have sponsors and things like that. And they ask for donations, but man, I feel like I'm watching PBS sometimes when in the middle of the show they start giving out the birthday things and the people that donated this and that, and they spend, you know, 10, 15 minutes just talking about people who donated money. And I'm like, okay, sorry, you talk about PBS not being, but you're following you've got the same frickin' business model here. And, I find myself skipping through a lot of stuff on the No Agendas just to shorten it up a bit. because, you know, it's, yeah, why 3 hours? If you're on there for 3 hours, it's you're on there too long. He says, as we're coming up on over 2 hours here, but, and we always complain about the length of a podcast when we're doing a long one.
Well, it seems even longer for us as we started like a half hour before we even freaking started recording.
Actually, most of that probably won't even get on there, you know. I'll pick something for the pre-roll. Well, and then,
that's a good thing.
But it's still going to be pretty long. But then again, we didn't put a show on last week, so.
Yeah, but I agree with you totally about no agenda. I love the show. I love what the messages that they're putting out. I really like listening to the to John and
Adam
Curry talk. But I tell you, it's just like after a while, you know, especially when you get into all the knighthoods and all the donations, it's like, yeah, okay, we know you're doing this on a donation basis, but. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Everybody else is listening, and some of us are just kind of sandbagging because, you know, your podcast is just too freaking long. I don't want to pay money for a 3-hour podcast two times a week.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
The other thing, too, that, you know, I listened to them, and then they've been talking about a few things that will remain nameless here on their podcast that I know something about. And I got to tell you that, especially Adam, well, both of them actually, but especially Adam is so full of shit on what he's saying, and he knows nothing, and he's just gathering bits and pieces and putting together this thing and saying it's truth, and he knows nothing about the topic. And that's okay. That's one thing. But then I look at it and say, well, you know, what about all this other stuff that I don't know that much about? And I'm listening to these guys put this stuff together. I said, he probably doesn't know shit about that stuff either.
A wealth of bad information.
So I now listen to it more for amusement than I do for actual news because I they're just full of shit.
I agree with that. Well, I'm in the same boat as you. You know, as a government contractor, when he starts talking about certain topics, I tend to have more of a personal knowledge of some of the things he's talking about. And, you know, like you said, I know that he's completely off base, that he has no idea what the hell he's really talking about and what some of these things are, like, really used for. I mean, some of the surveillance things that he's railing against are actually saving people's lives. And it's not things that we're just going to turn off because people find it distasteful. We're doing this kind of crap because that's the way we conduct war these days. That's how you fight the enemy. I mean, back in World War II, we had this awesome way of shutting down the enemy. We loaded up as many bombers as we could launch into the air with as many bombs as they could hold, and we flew over a city and dumped all the bombs in the city and just totally leveled the place, you know? And that would decimate an enemy. It was a great way to fight a war. But guess what? Germany is still finding up to 750 bombs a year that are not that have not detonated.
Yeah.
And they're blowing things up now. So, yeah, you know, it worked back then. It made the enemy back down. But in the long run, it's not the greatest thing to do. Yeah. So now we have a way where we can target things. We can focus things intensely. And it's a pain in the ass to do that because it's not very exciting. And it's not very glamorous. You know, it's not like World War II where you had people, you know, up in the air going through, you know, like you had these fighters that were, you know, fighting each other and things like that. You don't have that kind of crap anymore. You know, you have people that are dropping a very, very small bomb into a small window of a small building in the second floor and destroying everything in that one room. And that's all it destroys. The building stays intact, but everybody in that room is dead. And that's the way we will fight wars. And it takes hours and hours and hours and weeks and months of intel to make that kind of thing happen. You know, to drop a $30 bomb into a little $2 window, you know, we spend billions. You know, but that's the way we fight war now. Would you rather level a city? Well, to be honest with you, I would rather level it.
I won't comment on any of that because I don't want to. But I will say one thing. What is the most powerful weapon in the world today?
Information.
Information is the most powerful weapon in the world. Just remember that.
So, good one.
Yeah.
I agree totally.
So, anyway, yes, podcasts. I'm actually enjoying the our friends from the North mini podcast. I listen to Michael's, of course, but I also listen to Bob's and Anthony's, and I'm going to look into a couple because they're like 5-10 minutes, and that's like, oh, I love that. You know, they're too sweet, short, sweet, to the point. And you move on to the next one, and it gives you a variation, especially if you got a long commute. You know, Adam Curry, I start listening to it, you know, I start listening to it in the shower, then on the ride to work, and then on the ride back, and then maybe another half hour, you know, some other time, and I listen to it at double speed. To speed them up, you know?
I got nothing to say that I want to hear that bad that I'm going to listen to someone ramble on for 3.5 hours. Sorry. If you can't spit it out in an hour and 35, hour and 40 minutes, I'll find it somewhere else.
Now, with that all being...
Yeah, I'm with Josh.
Yeah. With that all being said, I would preferably listen to a frickin' or podcast than what is on the radio today. Because, God... And it's not so much, you know, some places they have some very talented people. When they let them say something, you know, 10 minutes out of the hour, they get to say something, and the rest is frickin' commercials. Yeah.
Well, the biggest problem is that they don't get to decide what music they're going to play. You know, back in the 70s and into the early 80s, you know, the era when we were growing up, it was an exciting time to listen to the radio because... The disc jockeys decided what records they were going to play. They were playing what they thought were interesting music, what were the big songs of the day, and they were talking about it while they were playing it, you know? And it was really kind of great because what you heard in Boston was different from what you heard in Philadelphia, and you could drive and you know, fly into Detroit, and they were playing different music there.
Right.
So, like, whenever you traveled everywhere, there was different music on the radio, and it was kind of an awesome thing. You know, it was regional. It was wonderful. You know, Boston was very, very heavy with, like, Aerosmith and Jay Giles' band, and it was fantastic. You know, you could go someplace else and you might hear some of those songs from those two bands, but mostly you would hear what they were into. You know, you don't get that anymore. The entire landscape has been homogenized with crap. It's the same old banal bullshit all across the landscape. They've leveled it into nothing but muck and mire. And it's like, I haven't listened to the radio since 2005 when I discovered podcasts. Right. That's all I listen to when I travel.
Exactly.
I load them all up on my iPod, and that's all I listen to.
Exactly what I do. Oh, and Barty, I don't think you were on when we were. I had found a streaming radio station, and it's strictly a streaming radio station called K-Rob. You might want to check it out if you like the old 70s, early 80s type radio show. And now, again, it's top 40 type stuff, but they are doing it just like the top 40 radio stations did back in the late 70s, early 80s. And they play the music. They play old music that you haven't heard in years because they're playing the list. They're not just playing the top 10 for the year. You know?
Well, it's not so much the music, but the personalities. Like WBCN in Boston, back in the old days, was an FM station that used to have a show with Charles Lacordaire that was called the Morning Mattress Matinee. And he would have a host of characters on there that would do miscellaneous bits and skits and stuff like that. And they would, of course, play a whole lot of music. But it was like a crazy 2 or 3 hour expanse of just madness. Yeah. And it was just great to listen to in the morning. It just, like, totally cracked you up.
Yeah.
You know, plus you got to listen to a lot of really kick-ass rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and they would get down into the evening, and there would be this blues guy called Eric that would come on and talk with a really soft voice and play you all the latest blues music that was going on. And a lot of them were like Boston bands, up-and-coming Boston bands that were playing the blues, that were doing the circuit, playing the clubs, and he would be playing them on WBCN, you know, which is now long gone, you know?
Right, right.
But, yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah. Charles Lacordaire was a legend in Boston radio. He's now living in, well, the last I heard, he was living in Florida. He was in retirement and just kind of like living a Jimmy Buffett lifestyle, kicking back on the on the beach.
Well, it's interesting how some of these guys that, you know, were DJs back then, like this K-Rob, is, it's a collection of people, and that's not even a call. They made up the call sign. The guys who put the thing together, his name is Rob. I forget his last name. So he just used K-R-O-B, K-Rob, they call it. And it's streaming only on the internet, and I'm telling you, it takes you right back to the late 70s. And the DJs, they have live DJs, and they talk them up, and they let them pick their own music, and, you know, it's great. It, you know, I put it on at work. they haven't caught that yet. I stream it at work. And,
how'd they get away with playing the music?
Oh, there's a licensing. They license it. There is a, if you're interested in doing a, I've already sent Michael information. If you're interested in doing a streaming radio and you want to play legitimate music, there's a couple of organizations out there that are fairly cheap that will license it for you. And
really?
I think there's a monthly fee and a yearly fee, but it's not as bad as dealing with you know, ASCAP or ASCAP, any of those guys direct.
Or EMI. Or,
yeah. So, but, and so they do that through theirs. Yeah. It's very good. Yeah. You check out K-Rob sometime. It's actually in iTunes. You can go to the radio stations in iTunes. That's how I listen to it at work. And I kick it off and stream.
I definitely will. That sounds really good.
Yeah.
And send me the information about that licensing stuff. I'd be interested in seeing that.
Okay.
Is there any chance that applies to podcasts?
I don't know, because this is for streaming music. That's a good question. I don't know whether they do it for that.
Well, streaming is non-persistent, where podcasts tend to be more persistent. They tend to last.
Right, right. So I'm not sure. I'll send you the link and you can check it out. See what's going on.
All right, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thanks, Barry.
So with that, Michael's back. Maybe.
Michael?
I was texting him.
Michael.
While you guys going, I was saying, are you coming back? And he said, yeah, he's trying to figure it out. I guess he's chatting with the network guys, trying to get his issues. Because all the rest of the topics are Michael's, and
and I really got to be going anyway. It's gotten kind of late here.
And
I hear you there, sir.
We're getting a little long in the tooth right now for this podcast, as we complain about long podcasts.
Especially for a bunch of people that complain about the length of podcasts.
Their podcast is too long.
I'm going to go on for 4 hours talking about how I hate long podcasts.
Yeah, really?
So we do have
speed it up, Barry. Make it faster.
Yeah, we do have a musical. I could speed them up. We do have a musical. Oh, you know what? When you speed somebody up, like I said, I listen to all my podcasts at double speed. I've gotten used to it. And the people sound a lot more intelligent when they talk fast.
Well, yeah, but I listen to music podcasts, too, and that
you
doesn't work.
Right. If you listen to music podcasts, I use Downcast. And listen to those at normal speed. But all the talk ones I listen to, I double speed them. So.
Yeah, I can't do that on my iPod Classic.
You need to start using. Oh, do you have your iPhone still?
Use your iPhone.
Yeah, I got iPhones. I got an iPod Touch, but there's too many touches you have to make to get the things.
Downcast. Downcast is the best app out there for podcasts.
Yeah, but you have to go through menus and get to it. With the iPod Classic, you just simply touch a button. Tell it you want podcast, tell it you want music, tell you want playlist, and you hit the playlist you want, and presto bango, you're gone.
Same thing.
There it goes.
Same thing with Downcast. You set it all up, and then I have four different playlists. A, B, C, okay, five. A, B, C, D,
and
video. And
yeah, but you have to first bring up the opening screen. Then you got to pick the app. Then you got to tell the app what you want. And then you got to go to the list that you want in the app.
Yeah, it's easy. I pop it up, and it automatically comes up into the playlist, and I hit the A playlist.
The iPod Classic, it's like playing on a VCR.
I know. I used to use it. That's how I first started using podcasts. I used that one, and I'm telling you, Downcast is easier, faster.
Well, when I run out of podcasts, I can switch over and shuffle songs on my iPod Classic from my entire CD collection, my music collection rather, not CD.
Well, I can do that with albums. I can press the big button and tell Siri to play music, and she does if I want to.
You have how many gigs can you store in that thing?
I have a 64 gig one.
Oh,
iPhone.
My music library won't fit on 64 gig.
Well, and then I got everything up in the iCloud too.
Right.
So
yeah, well, where I travel, I don't always have iCloud available.
Well, but then you listen to
the ones. I have my entire music library available in my iPod Classic, so no matter where I go, I don't need a signal. We don't need no stinking radio. You know, I just simply, you know, play it right off of there. So when I run out of podcasts or if I get bored with the podcast I've got collected, I can just say, screw this shit, go up a couple of clicks, drop down to the very bottom where it says shuffle, and I can pop the middle button, and I'm playing music from my total music library.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to play it all, though, if you got that much music.
48,000 songs later.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've got, I think I've got like about 130 gigs worth of music on my 160 gig iPod. And, you know, I keep thinking to myself.
Wait a minute, you got 130 gigs worth of music on a 60 gig iPod.
160.
160. I'm like, what?
Yeah. My iPod Classic, I put nothing but music on, just my music library. And I put videos and all that other crap on iPod Touches and iPads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because they look better there. I mean, a little tiny screen in the iPod, I mean, you're not going to watch anything on that.
Nah.
You know.
Yeah, I still have mine around here somewhere. But
I really wish they would come up with one last iPod Classic that would maybe have like a 200 or something bigger hard drive in it that would have a screen that skip all the album art and stuff and just simply put the name of the artist and the song in great big letters. Because the biggest thing I have is, yeah, I can see the album art, and I can recognize what the album is, but I want to know, I mean, what is the song and what is the group? You know, because when I'm commuting home, I don't want to hear, a slow ballad. You know, I want to see when it changes songs and I tap the middle button, I want to know who the hell is this and what are they playing?
Well,
if I can't read that crap, you know.
If you used an iPhone, you could.
Well, yeah, but I have to go through 18 touches to get to it, you know?
No, it's not that bad, Marty.
Yeah, it is.
No,
it is. You can't do it while driving. Oh,
I do. I do it. I've got, the things memorized. Maybe two touches at most to do stuff.
Way. Not me. You have to exit out of whatever app you're playing the podcast on and go back to the menu and then try to shuffle around and find where the music app is. And then shuffle through that to find what playlist you want.
Siri, play ABBA. She plays ABBA.
My iPod Touch is an older one than that. And my iPhone is a company phone, so I don't put a whole lot of crap on that. So I don't have a lot of options, you know.
Yeah, well.
And I don't want to lift up that great big iPad and say, hey, Siri, listen to this. You know.
Well, to each his own, but my second brain is in a cradle right in the center console for me. And, oh, that was another thing, real quick. I agree with you now, Barty, 100% on Google Maps, because when I went down to Pennsylvania, even though I know how to get down there, I always use a mapping program just to see what's going on and just, you know, so it'll tell me when I'm getting close to my exit. Yeah, and so I was looking at Apple Maps. And they gave me a way to get down there, and it wasn't the way I wanted to go, and there was no other option. And I went to Google Maps, and lo and behold, they gave me three different paths to get down there and let me choose the path that I wanted to go, the route I wanted to go. And that's why I chose the Merritt Parkway one. And it was great. And it was dead on. And now that they bought Waze, they got the best part of Waze in Google Maps now. Because I would never trust Waze to get me somewhere based on, well, experiences. And Joel knows.
Yeah, really. Well, I never trusted Waze either. I would play with it.
I use Waze when I know where I'm going because of it allows you to, people to enter information on the route.
People tell you where the cops are.
Yeah, well, not just the cops. Where accidents are, where slowdowns are, and everything else. And it's a lot better than any of the other services I've seen or listening to the radio. Because the radio, by the time the radio tells you that there's a slowdown somewhere, it's 20 minutes old, and usually it's all cleaned up. Waze is pretty much right on the money, because you got people right there going, boom, there's something here, you know. Well,
this shit sucks.
Google Maps has included the Waze reports now in Google Maps,
that's cool. I'll have to play with that. Yeah. That's kind of neat.
I was 100% Google Maps, and I even got used to the young girl that talks like this.
I don't get that bitch. I get somebody else that talks more normally. I don't have that problem.
But
maybe you just bring up the bad side of Google Maps. Barry, what kind of people do you hang around with?
I'm telling
you. What kind of websites have you been perusing, Barry?
I'm telling you, it was dead on all the way down, the trip all the way down. I really...
Nice way to size up that question. to let you off the hook, yeah. I always like Google Maps, and when it left iOS, I was lost because I depended upon it. And you know, we have through the company, we have Verizon. What is it? I can't think. Voyager or something like that. And you know, that is just not as good. It is not as updated. It's like about 10, 15 years behind. Hmm. And, you know, when you use Google Maps is like updated within a couple of years.
Right.
And I remember Michael talking about, which I was, he was online, that they even updated Copper Harbor. And I went and checked my house, and lo and behold, they actually have updated my neighborhood. And like, there's like four houses on my street, and they actually have it like within 2013.
Wow, that's nice.
Which that blew me away. Yeah, because, you know, the last time I checked, they were like 10 years behind in our property, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really kind of funny.
Yeah. And so I was a big fan. This trip down to Pennsylvania made me a big fan of Google Maps again. They've really, and they keep adding little things as it goes on. So I'm glad it's on iOS again, too.
Yeah, I was happy to see Google Maps come back to iOS because, like I've said on this show many times, I just loved Google Maps. And when they left, I was just praying to Apple, please, please let Google Maps come back. You know, I mean, no complaints against Apple Maps. I mean, but it's just not as good as Google Maps. Google has completely dominated the whole map thing. I mean, they've driven cars, they've flown planes, they've launched satellites. I mean, come on. Google has completely mapped the Earth in more ways than we want to know. Trust me. And the NSA is asking Google for information about things. That's how well they've mapped things.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that's going to be the show because we're running late. We do have a musical guest. The musical guest is Brian Mangum, and
he's complaining he had to wait an hour and a half.
You're the one if he's still in the green room. So with that, we always go out saying hello and thank the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thanks for what you do. Especially you OCONUS guys, we know it's hard being away from family and friends, and we hope you get back home to them real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the southwest corner of the very chilly state of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
And from and Copper
Hill. Here to say goodbye.
Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. I was going to fake you. I was going to fake
like
you.
I feel like the great Prophet Zarnan, or whatever his name is, at the end of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, am I too late for a couple words at the restaurant at the end of the universe? Anyhow, from the man cave, talking with the rest of the network guys trying to figure out what the is going on, it's Michael, the virtual Uper.
And don't worry, Michael, we've got six topics for next week.
And it's all you.
Oops, it's asking me if I'm still here. I love when Google, when Hangouts. Are you still here?
Do you still exist? No, I died 3 days ago. Why are you asking?
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Show 124 next week, we promise. Until then, here's Brian Mangum.
Samson, speak. Good boy.